Dear Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. We're thankful, Father, you've given it to us. Lord, it's our instruction. Lord, it's where we learn about you, about us, about the past, the future, instruction. Father, help us to be obedient in studying it. Lord, and also not just studying, but obeying it, following it, applying it. Help us, Lord. We're just thankful, Lord, for Daniel and what a journey it's been going through this exciting book. Father, we pray that you'll open our hearts, Lord, to the message. Help us to learn and, Lord, just study your word. Put it there for us to understand. Open our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Okay. We're in the final chapter. Book of Genesis. I'm okay. I hope this is not an indicator of what the rest of the morning is like. This book is slowly winding down. I hate to be done with this book. About to get there. Anyway, last Sunday, we were talking about we're in the final half of the tribulation, last 3.5 years for the return of Christ. And we were going through, there's a lot of different people being saved during the tribulation period. And we were looking at that just to kind of get us up to speed. Let's just go ahead and begin, I guess. Let's go ahead and read Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. We were on that. We were discussing verse 2. And these first four verses here kind of all stand on their own. We're just taking them one verse at a time. After that, then we're going to group them together. Daniel 12:2. Who would read that for you? Gilbert? Okay. Two different resurrections going two different directions. All right? One to everlasting life. One to shame and everlasting contempt. And we were discussing the ones that are resurrecting to life. We're talking about the various resurrections. Last Sunday we said, according to the scholars, there's three different resurrections. Okay? Who was the first resurrection? Which one was that? Christ. Christ himself. It says Jesus Christ is the first fruits. First one to resurrect. Dead, never to perish again. Okay? Which group is the second? Okay? The righteous. Alright? The Old Testament saints and the church saints. And when does that resurrection take place? What? At the rapture. Okay. Right. That is the next prophetic event on God's calendar. And we're marking time now. That trumpet can sound at any moment. It can happen before this class is over. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? That's what we're saying. Looking for his return. But that happened. Okay. What was the third group of the ones that are resurrected? Tribulation saints, exactly. We looked in Revelation. We looked at the some verses there. And it talked about those that were beheaded for the cause of Christ. And yet it says, in all of the same verse, yet they lived and reigned with Christ. Now, it doesn't actually use the word resurrection, but if you're dead and then you're alive to be alive and to reign, you got to come back to life. It is a third resurrection. So, we were there, and then we were just looking at, where were we looking at? Okay, we're looking at the different methods by which people are saved, reading the Word of God, they're being saved by studying God's Word. There's the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that are proclaiming the Word. There's the angel flying and, broadcasting the gospel. And then we were just finished up taking a look. Who's these two witnesses? There's the two witnesses. We just finished up on that last week. And so now we are ready. That's kind of got you up to speed real quick. Maybe to kind of help people get oriented as we weren't here last time. So let's go ahead. Oh, and we were just getting, I was just making a comment that during a tribulation, there is a multitude of Gentiles are saved during the tribulation. And so let's go ahead and take a look at that. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. And we'll read verse 9 through 15. Okay. Revelation 7, 9 through 15. Who'd read those for? Kathy?
After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude of shouting all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palm branches in his hand, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation.
That was it, Kathy. 15. Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Okay. So we have this multitude of people standing before the throne of God, you know, white robes. You're not going to stand before the throne of God in a white robe if you haven't been saved. That won't happen. Okay? And it talks about in verse 9, it says, a great multitude which no innumerable number of people. Here it says, of all nations and kindreds and people come. Okay? That's Jews, Gentiles, all over. Okay? These are also, in other words, there's no doubt that this is just talking about Jews only. No, it's not. It's talking about Gentiles. These are saved people. It says, as they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms. And again, it nails it down because in verse 14, we know these are tribulation people because it says these are they which came out of the great tribulation. And the context is the tribulation. So Gentiles will be saved and also be raised at the end of the tribulation. So there are Jewish and Gentile tribulation saints. So go back to Daniel. Chapter. Anyway, okay. Go back to the book of Daniel. Now, we've been talking about the first resurrection. It says there's two resurrections, one to everlasting life, the other to everlasting shame and contempt. So we took a look at the first resurrection, three parts of it. Now we're going to talk about the second resurrection. And in verse 2, at the end of that, it says, and some are going to raise to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So now let's take a look at the second part. Those that's raised to shame and everlasting contempt. And again, go back to Revelation chapter 20 this time. A lot of times, like I've said before, Daniel mentions something. then we gotta go elsewhere to kinda add more flesh to the bones, kinda flesh it all out. Okay. Revelation 20, and let's read verses 4 through 6. Read
Revelation 20, 6. Huh? I saw a throne, and they that sat upon it. And they that sat upon it. Judgment was given to them. I saw the souls of the witness of the angels of the Word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither is
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, so in verse 5, this verse flip-flops and makes it kind of difficult to understand a little bit. In verse 4, we're talking about part of the first resurrection. But then in the beginning of verse 5, it says, but the rest of the dead, okay, that is the unsaved dead, the lost, okay, but the rest of the dead shall not live not again until 1,000 years were finished. But then it has in there, this is the first resurrection. That refers back to the verse 4 ahead of it. It's the first and then verse 6 goes on, talking about the first resurrection again. So, but right in the middle of that verse, it kind of does a flip-flop and makes it look like the rest of the dead was part of the first resurrection. No, it's not. That's the second resurrection. So it kind of flip-flops it. And then in verse 6, it goes on and it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Okay? That is a resurrection of the saved, of the redeemed. It says, and on such the second death hath no power. In other words, the second death does not apply. It doesn't apply at all. And again, talking about the first resurrection, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay? So now what we're focused on here is the rest of the dead that live not again for 1,000 years. So, it says, but the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. So the rest of the dead are the unsaved dead. They live not again, okay? This resurrection happens 1,000 years later. And 1,000 years later, says it right here, that is at the end of the millennium. That's when they are resurrected. So two separate resurrections, saved and saved. One's to everlasting life, the other's to shame and contempt. And God raises the bodies of the unjust from the dead. That's the time frame. So hope that's clear. So we're talking about here. And to take a look at the resurrection of the second resurrection. Turn to Revelation 20, and we'll read verses 11 through 15. We probably read this portion of Scripture 10, 15 times. We'll do it again. I'm trying to keep everything to fit and flow into context. So who would read Revelation 20, 11 through 15? Bill?
Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it. From those faced the earth, and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. Books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the life. And the dead were judged according to their works. By the things which were written in the books, the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell delivered up. And they were judged, each one according to his work. Then death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found in the written, not written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay. Folks, you do not want to be a part of judgment. not want to be a part of this one. Okay, you want to be a part of the first one, not the second. All right. Here is the future of the unsaved. All right. This resurrection is the one that's to shame and everlasting. And I remember Ron DeGard's sermon. He preached on, touched on this part of his sermons, and he on his sermon there, and he made the comment. He says, "You know, God sees and knows every one of our words, thoughts. God sees everyone. He knows it. Our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, and He's written them down in His book." You see here, God opens the books. Now, this is on the unsaved. For the saved people, when we're saved, our sins are forgiven, past, present, future. And the Bible says that God, as far as the east is from the west, they are forgotten forever. Those that are saved, their sins have been forgiven. That was taken care of at Calvary. These folks here, they're not saved. Their sins have never been forgiven. Now they're getting ready to pay the price for them. Folks, it's an ugly price. It lasts for eternity. We do not want anyone, or we do not want to go there. And, need to be saved to avoid this particular one here. And I remember Ron DeGard, when he was talking about this, find my notes here again. Okay. He said, okay, God knows. He's recording our works, our thoughts, our deeds. He's recorded it in all of his books, and he uses these books. It tells us right here, he opens the books, and he uses these books to judge the unsaved. And if someone says, here's what Ron said. He said, if someone says, I didn't or I wouldn't do that, their judgment, then God holds out the record. You did it. He has got a record, and it's going to be put in front of their face. Okay? The Bible says all mouths will be stopped. All mouths. There's no way. I mean, you can't refute that. God's got the record. And by the way, God is also recording the deeds of Christians as well. So, I mean, because we're going to be judged. And again, notice here, they're judged on their works. This judgment here. Our judgment basically starts, salvation is by faith. It's not by works. We know that. But again, God is recording our works after being saved. We also, if you look at the judgment, the Bema Seat judgment in 1 Corinthians 3, whatever it is, anyway, 1 Corinthians. But again, we will be judged according to our works. Right? The faith part was taken care of at Calvary. Still, God, from the point of salvation forward, we are all going to stand before God in judgment for our works. What did we do for Christ? You know, what didn't we do for Christ? So there's a judgment both ways. Both the judgments are on the works. Praise God, the one was taken care of at Calvary, Christian. So, he uses it, okay. All mouths will be stopped. And folks, God is going to judge in righteousness, and all wrongs are going to be exposed and judged. One of these days, a lot of times we see things happen, judgments given, courts, things like that, unjust, you know, and we think, man, that's wrong. They're getting away with, you know, they're getting away with it. No, one of these days, God's going to make everything right. Folks, always bear in mind, payday. Bad. Bear that in mind. Now, Daniel does not see the 1,000 years in between. That's because the whole concept was a mystery. The Old Testament saints, there's a lot of mystery. You know, that they couldn't see. And the whole flow of redemptive history has some big time gaps. There are big gaps in time for the Old Testament. Just some things that, you know, well, if they did understand it, they didn't write it down. Indicates they really didn't see all these. So, any questions or comments on? Yes, sir.
One thing as Christians, I remember also part of the reason verses the books, such as when the unsaved stand before Christ in the church, when Christ talks about the sheep on his right and the goats on his left, who have dead people and clothed them.
Okay. Everybody get that? John, you get ready to say something? I see that. No, okay, you had that look on your face like he had a comment he was going to make.
My thought was that God says we are to examine ourselves. And evidently, from Scripture, there's going to be many that think they're saved or not. They're going to say, did I do this or do that?
Years I was born. Well, I didn't know. I hoped I was. I lived with that. Again, that verse that we covered. John just put in a commercial. Added tonight. Okay, I don't know if you got it or not. Come to the Cantata. It's got a powerful message to it. And anyway, so, but yeah. Awesome. Anything else? Okay, let's move on. Let's go back to Daniel. Let's read 12:3. Another verse that stands upon its own. Verse 3. Who'd read verse 3? Gilbert? Okay. Thank you. They that be wise. But first we got to ask the question, okay, who are the wise? And it kind of ends in the verse there. It says, they that turn men into righteousness. But the wise ones are the ones who believe. Ones who are purged, the redeemed. They are the wise ones. Wisest people in the world are the saved, and the biggest fools are the unsaved. That's looking at it from God's perspective, not ours. You know, we see these rich people and all this stuff, and all this talent, and those are wise people. A lot of those people are going to stand before God, and God's going to call them fools. Okay? You had the scriptures, they were there, I gave them to you, you didn't pay any attention. You didn't listen, you turned your back on me, you rejected me, live life the way you want to, and at that particular time, God is going to call them fools. So the wise are the same. The wisest of all men are those who come to Christ, and everybody else, God, call a fool. Seen that play out in Scripture. But at the end of that verse, it says, and they that turn men into righteousness. Message here is hope. He focuses on the hope after the resurrection. He's talking about the hope, the future. And then will come the reward in the time of dividend. Folks, we're going to be judged on our works as Christians. And And it appears bread is such a wonderful thing. Anyway, we're all going to be judged according to our works. It says, they shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. They shall shine. Talking about Christians, okay? They not only receive everlasting life, but they're going to shine like stars. What does this mean? Here's one author's interpretation. He says, in eternity, we will be rewarded by the ability to manifest the blazing glory of God. Okay, and that's what I started to say a minute ago when I lost it. We're going to be judged according to our works, and there are different degrees of blessing in heaven, and I believe the Bible also. There will be degrees of punishment in hell, depending on how much light it burns. Somebody that's never heard the gospel in their life are not going to be punished as bad as someone who sat through church all their life and rejected that and heard the gospel preached time and time and time and time again, like I was, okay, before I was saved. So there's going to be, and here, again, this kind of alludes to this. We're going to shine like the stars. And he says, there are little stars, and there's big stars as we look in the sky. They're all stars, they're all beautiful, but all of them have a different... Now, again, this is one author's interpretation. I'm just... And he believes that the capacity to glorify God will be dependent upon our faithfulness. He thinks that rewards or crowns that we will get when we go to glory are simply ways to express the capacity which we'll have to radiate the glory of God. In other words, there's going to be different. It says we're going to shine like stars, okay? So who are the greatest in God's sky? All will glow, but there's a special glow for those who turn many to righteousness. When we think back and look on our lives, what have we done to contribute to such a thing? I read that and I thought, ouch. Oh my. What have we done to contribute to that? How bright we're going to shine. We know that Jesus came to save sinners. He wants to use you and me to show others. How faithful have we been? How are we doing? The Lord wants us to be faithful, spread the word, and give out the gospel. Just a couple of verses here that kind of go along with this. Okay? Philippians 2:15 says, she may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. Matthew 13:43, then shall a righteous shine forth as the sun, in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Talking about shining. Oh, I thought you were going to raise your hand there. Seeing you move your hand up. Okay. Hang on, I just flipped my page here. Okay. Matthew 13. And the one before that was Philippians 2:15. Okay, let's. Any questions or comments about this before we move on to verse 4? Okay, who'll read verse 4 for? Daniel 12:4. Jeffrey. Okay, thank you, Jeffrey. Okay. It says, shut up the words and seal the book. Daniel is commanded to seal. This particular word seal means to preserve, like your canned goods, like your canned tomatoes, okay? You put them in a jar and you seal it. I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. My wife did. Ask her. But anyway, but it's to seal it, to preserve it. And it says, seal up the words. And folks, we know it means to preserve it because we're studying it today. Daniel wrote this way back in 500-something B.C. So we have it. So it means to preserve it. So we can study it so people can learn and study it. It says, seal it to the time of the end. This, what it means, this phrase, to the time of the end, it is referring to the tribulation period, to be sealed up, you know, until that time. Reserved especially for those living during the future tribulation days. It says many, in that verse, it says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And folks, many attribute this increase in knowledge. I mean, I was just thinking as I was kind of running over my notes. I remember the first time I saw a television. First time I seen it. I was about this. My dad worked for a company called Mr. Nottle. He knew nothing about television. Mr. Nottle, made by dad, they were starting to get TVs in, and they needed somebody to demonstrate their TVs. So they told my dad, you're in charge of TV. My dad was cool. And so they let him bring a TV home, you know, so he could monkey with it, try to figure out how to make it work, what it does. And so we carried this TV, living in Kansas City, brought that TV in, and we invited all of our neighbors. And they all came in, and we all sat in front of it. Turned the thing on. I think it's about 1948 or somewhere along in there, in that era. I think that's about when. We had all of our neighbors, and we sat glued, just all this snow. And at first you turn the thing on, and finally this test signal. Now there might be some little hoary-headed people in here. I remember what I'm talking about. This little thing came on, had kind of like an Indian head on there, and of course, things. There's this high-pitched buzz, frequency, kind of a whine. And you're supposed to adjust. It gives you time, adjust the TV, so you can get a good picture. And so Dad's up there, he's a monkey, with all the knobs on this thing. No way you'll all get out. And that test screen was on for probably at least 15 minutes. Okay. And there was only one channel, and it only ran for like an hour. TV was over. You had to wait till the next day to come back and watch. Anyway, and then all of a sudden, there on this screen came picture, you know, and it was fuzzy. You could hardly see it. We were absolutely, man, we have arrived. I mean, technology can go no further than to pull a picture. Did it. And to us, I mean, you talk about something thrilling. It had radios. Wow, there's a picture there. Can't hardly make it out. And I think the only thing they had, Kansas City had one station, and I think it was news. Kind of gave the news of the day. And the thing, it lasted about an hour or so. Then it went off. And they always played the Star Spangled Banner. They always had this jet. Anyway, and I thought, you know, we have arrived. We cannot go any further. You know, man can't accomplish any greater feat. And can anybody relate to what I'm talking about here? All right, I see some hands going. Okay. All right. Now, you younger folks, you know, you don't even know what it would be like to have a life without a TV.
Living black and white.
You betcha. Yeah.
My first preacher, when I watched him, he was a, you know, safe Jew. That knowledge shall increase doesn't mean what we think. We're, you know, the world's going on with knowledge and everything right now. But it means knowledge of the scripture shall
increase. Okay. I think you kind of covered part of what I'm getting. Yeah, she's already taught the rest of the class, so we're just. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Hank. Yeah, Charlotte. other comments? All right, let's go ahead and take a look at this. Now, many attribute this knowledge thing, this knowledge increase and running to and fro. Many, and by the way, thank both of you ladies. I appreciate the comments. That's good, you know, and you're right, I think. So, or this guy thinks, well, everybody, all the authors seem to think that. Many attribute this increase in knowledge to the knowledge increase we're seeing today. And knowledge has increased greatly in our day. I mean, from that TV set, look at what we've got going on now. I picked up a former pastor the other day to take him to the hospital. He had to have some surgery done on his knee scope job. And I took him to that. And as we're going down the road, all of a sudden his phone starts sticking. And so he picks up the phone, and here's his picture. He's got one of these doorbells, got a camera on it, because they travel a lot. They're gone for months at a time. And they live real close to us. But anyway, he could look on that, see who's out there at the doorbell. And I couldn't see what he's doing. I'm driving. I'm taking him there. And so all of a sudden he's talking to his wife. He says, "Hey, I see you there. Don't you pick that up. Don't pick that up." His wife had just had rotator cuff. She's all bunged up with her arm in a sling. And he's going in to have his knees. He's going to be laid up. And anyway, but he was talking, and I thought it sounded like his wife, and he was. Is what had happened. The UPS guy had just came, dropped a package off, hit the doorbell, got in his truck, and took off. So meanwhile, the wife comes out, you know, and she's going down, and she's kind of trying to pick that package up, one arm, and trying to balance it. And he said, "Don't you pick it up. I'll get it when I get home. Just leave it, you know." This conversation's going on, and he showed it to me. He said, "See, you can see Lori back here. She's back there kind of behind the tree." I mean, anyway, I thought, wow, he could be in a foreign country, and somebody rings his doorbell. You know, you talk about technology. Wow. Okay. Anyway, so yes, sir.
And also Revelation chapter 1, when Christ returns, it says every eye shall see him. Think about that. 100 years ago,
sure. Good point. Sure. Good point, Bill. You betcha. Okay. However, I'll continue on here. We got 5 minutes. However, many scholars say this is talking about a knowledge increase that occurs in the time of the end. This is talking about preserve it to the time of the end, it says in the verse. He says that the knowledge increase is going to happen in the time of the end, in the tribulation days. And they're saying that, they say this apparently means that during the tribulation, people are trying to understand what has come upon the world. And folks, we've talked about the chaos and all the mess going on. We don't have a clue what it is. We think things are bad today. We've been down that road in this class. So anyway, many are going to go back and forth, including studying the book of Daniel, trying to understand it. Like Charlotte just got done saying, they're trying to get a handle. What is going on? You know, how can we fix this mess? It keeps getting worse and worse. Okay? We have some understanding of it today, of the scripture. But they're saying that more of it are going to be understood, especially during the 70th week of Daniel. During the 70th week, that's the tribulation period, 70th week of Daniel, more people are going to have more understanding and understand the book of Daniel better than we do, and other portions of scripture. Understanding is going to increase. They will understand a lot more than we do today because they will be seeing a lot of the prophecies being fulfilled. You know, we've talked in the past about how, you know, we've seen, we're going through this book, we've seen how prophecies have been fulfilled in the past. You know, Daniel wrote the stuff out 500 years before Christ, and we have seen these things step after step after step come true. Come true. And where people couldn't understand, what does it mean that Messiah was cut off? You know, one of Daniel's prophecies. And they didn't know what that meant. You know? But we can look back. That's what Christ was. It makes total sense to us. It didn't to them. They're saying the same thing. There's going to be some things that are going to happen. Also, people are going to say, aha, now I can see it. Now I can understand it. Or maybe to us, it is still a mystery. They will be able to see and understand things that are a mystery to us today. Daniel's preserved revelation from God provides some of the information they need. So there might be a greater understanding of things in scriptures we don't understand yet. There's going to be some future prophecies that are going to start. They're going to come to pass. You know, like, for example, the Antichrist sets up, declares himself to be God. You know, we haven't seen that. They're going to see. They can look at the Bible and say, yeah, that happened back there a couple of years ago. You know, they're going to have a lot more insight. That's what these folks say in this scripture referred to. So, any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
He also, I can take this verse and actually go back, starting with Ezekiel 36 and 37, the rebirth of Israel, because none of these prophecies mean anything until Israel is back at a nation. There wouldn't be no Leon Third Temple or anything like that. That didn't happen until May 14, 1948. Had a big since the rebirth of Israel, all this has been really coming to pass. You got not just the rebirth of Israel, then you got the retaking of Jerusalem, that precedent would happen, Six-Day War. Now we're hearing Russia, Iran, and all that I'm saying, let's come together and make the name of Israel be no more. Ezekiel 38, 39, and Psalm 83 is really on the verge of coming to pass. So it's not just the tribulation is from the rebirth of Israel up through the tribulation.
Okay. Very good point, Bill. Thank you. Anybody else? Folks, our time is up. That clock. I'm just getting rolling. We're getting ready to start verse 5. Then the rest of this to the end of the book. Folks, we're coming close to the end of this book. I'm going to hate to be done with this book. I have loved it. But anyway, so next Sunday, got to stop and think about all the different activities. So we'll begin at verse 5. So let's close the word of prayer. Thank you guys for coming. Appreciate you being here, Pam. Anybody, any other visitors? Okay, let's close the word of prayer. Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your instruction. And Lord, as we see, these two judgments we talked about, one to everlasting life, the other to judgment, damnation. Father, give us a greater burden. Lord, people need to know. They don't know. They don't care. Help us, Lord. Get them. Pray, Lord. Use us as your instrument. Lord, help us be able to be one of those stars that shines bright. Just thank you for this time. I pray that you'll be a pastor now. Open our hearts to the man. Yes. Lord, you just speak to each and every one of us have individual. They're dismissed. And folks, we got to cut out of here right away because our grandkids are doing their Christmas program in Burton. And so we're out of here. All right. Thank you, Jeffrey.